Welcome to the One Wolf Call. This is Mary Beth Gardam. If this is your first time on a One Wolf Call, you're especially welcome. Our call norms and helpful directions for the call are posted on our text pad on the visual interface. If you are dialing in without a computer, you won't get to see the text pad. So consider clicking on the words visual interface that appear in the email you got reminding you to join this call. During the call, if you have a technical issue, press number 5 on your phone keypad, and Michael Ippolito will help you out. If you want to raise your hand to get on a stack during question and answer periods, press number 1 on your phone keypad. Tonight's call is a potent reminder that Wolf US is part of a much larger international organization. And in order to give ample time for our members to discuss the changes and updates at the international level, for this call, we're all featured speakers. We have 5 quick announcements before we begin. The first is an important opportunity for all Wolf members. Dixie Hairston and Melissa Torres from the UN Practicum for Advocacy invite all Wolf members to apply for a very special week-long experience in New York City in March 2019. The Local to Global program invites Wolf members to apply to experience 1 week of the Commission on the Status of Women and interact with our UN Practicum students and the staff of our UN Programs Office in New York. Members from previous years strongly recommend this experience, and the week's expenses are paid by Wolf US if you're selected. So spread the news about how to apply for Local to Global right away. The deadline to apply is November 2nd, and that's really just a few weeks away. The Local to Global application window is open now and up on the Wolf US website at wolfus.org/story/programs-commission-status-women. And that link is featured on the text pad, so you can easily copy it down and share it with other members. Again, get your applications in by November 2nd. You can find it at wolfus.org/story/programs-commission-status-women. Next, the Wolf US Board and members of the Development Committee met in Des Moines, Iowa last weekend at the U.S. Section Office in the Friends House. The Des Moines branch hosted and once again impressed us with delicious food and wonderful hospitality. The purpose of the gathering was to plan strategies for the next 3 years of development, fundraising, and programs. We'll delve deep into lots of solutions and innovations that sound very promising, and you can expect to hear more about changes afoot within the next few months. This was the only in-person opportunity for our board to gather in 2018, and while it was more of a planning meeting than a board meeting, the notes will be posted. Is Nancy Price on the call yet?
Yes, Nancy Price is here.
Okay, Nancy, you have an announcement about some upcoming sponsorships that the DISARM Committee is undertaking. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Mary Beth. So I'd just like to call everyone's attention to the fact that your October e-news came into your inbox this morning. Be sure to check that you have it there, that it did not go into spam or did not go into other sections of your inbox. Please read it. There are some wonderful articles from many of the issue committees there. And toward the bottom, there's an article from Earth Democracy about and DISARM about 2 upcoming very important anti-war and peace events. The first is in Washington, D.C., November 10. It's called the Peace Congress, and it's being called together by a number of organizations. It's a full day of beginning with speakers, and then a series of discussions, facilitated discussions and breakouts leading to next steps to how to build the peace movement, a collaborative, intersectional, diverse peace movement in the U.S. Then following that, November 16 to 18, is the first international conference on U.S. and NATO bases in Dublin, Ireland. In the e-news, there the websites are given where you can go and find out more about these two conferences, how to register, and in particular for the conference in Dublin, to read and sign the unity statement. That would be we're seeking to collect a large number of signatures, both of organizations and individuals. So this is an opportunity for you to sign up in unity that we must close U.S. bases at home and abroad, as well as NATO bases, and begin to create a culture of peace and freedom globally. So this conference will begin to build that global movement to complement building a national movement. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. Let's hope the work of those two peace conferences is blessed by the universe, because God knows we are seriously in need of peace. Finally, we're in the midst of preparing the end-of-year appeal to go out to our members and donors, and we're asking you to consider digging a little deeper this year. Our 2018 expenses have been high with International Congress and our ramped up efforts at recruiting and social media outreach. Your contribution supports the work of members working on peace and justice across the U.S. So please budget now for your end of year gift and look for it in your mailboxes in early November. And we have an announcement from Michael.
Yes, thank you very much. Hi, everyone. Want to just invite everyone this Sunday's disarm call at 7:30. It's kind of a very exciting thing that the conference that Nancy had, and my apologies because a lot of this information is kind of like hot off the presses because it was back and forth with some of the guest speakers. So the conference that Nancy mentioned that's going to be happening in D.C., that conference that's happening in D.C., it's the weekend of the 9th, 10th, and 11th, leading up to the Dublin conference. That was originally going to be the Trump military march. And through the efforts of the Black Alliance for Peace, led by Ajamal Baraka, and Popular Resistance, led by Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zees, they organized 200 organizations. Wolf was a part of that here in the U.S. Our section was a part of that. And it stopped the military march, and that's what they're having with this conference. It's kind of building momentum and in the way celebrating that small triumph and, you know, building towards, like Nancy said, Dublin. So to that end, to anyone who'd like to know more about the weekend, and please, please, even if you can't go, or, you know, you just, you know, maybe think some other Wilfers or other people in the peace movement want to hear about it, get the word out, because this Sunday's disarm call at 7:30 Eastern Time Sunday, Kevin Zees and Margaret Flowers, Dr. Margaret Flowers of Popular Resistance, who helped organize that resistance, will be on the call to field questions and also give a little background about what happened in the lead up, the success, and what's going to be going on that weekend. As what's really looking to have happen is all these peace groups are trying to say, hey, what do we want to do next? And they're really like open-ended question, where do we want to go from here? And it's really a great opportunity to have Wilf and these, you know, dangerous women of Wilf have their voices be heard at such a wonderful conference, especially leading up to the Dublin International Conference. So you'll have those two as resources, Dr. Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zees. And please, again, let everybody know in your branch. I'll be sure. If you can email me if you want the registration link. I'll get it out. But lots of Wilfers probably already have it because they're on my colorful emails that I send out. Y'all may know what I'm talking about. So, again, this Sunday, 7:30 Eastern Time. Thank you so much. It's the Disarm Leadership Call. Okay, check. Mary Beth, are you muted?
Okay, Michael, yes, I was muted. I tried to get all of that onto the text pad, so you should be able to refer to it for details. Okay.
I'll post the registration link now on the text pad and highlight it so people can, if they're on, they can check it out. Thank you very much, Mary Beth. Appreciate it.
Okay. The World International Congress in August opened amid excitement about re-energized and new African sections, the growing threat of racism and fear in so many countries around the world, and violence that's erupting and continuing. Within WILF, a new proposal for how representation on the International WILF Executive Committee is structured was also part of the discussion. The U.S. section and a handful of others dissented from the popular position, which will change the representation of sections. The U.S. delegation arrived poised to voice that dissent, which was voted on here in the U.S. So now our delegation has returned, finally recovered from jet lag and the stimulation of being with so many peace women and WILF sisters from all around the globe. They've had time to process what they experienced, and tonight we'll hear how the conference opened, who attended, what was gained by our attendance, notes from workshops, observations, reflections, and decisions will be reported by many of WILF's women from our delegation and possibly a few others who also attended. We'll have plenty of time for questions and answers during the report. So jot down your questions as they come up and have them ready for a stack at the end of the presentations. I wanted to thank Eileen Kirkoski for putting together this lineup of speakers. This is what I got. Mary Hansen Harrison, our section president, will introduce the report and set the context. She'll be followed by Pat Haynes, Eileen Kirkoski, and then Mary will talk about her a seeds workshop she attended. Barbara Taft, Jan Quarterman, Darian DeLu. Mary will get back on to talk about the dissent that the U.S. section stated, and Virginia Pratt. So that's the schedule we'll follow. I'm asking everyone to keep their reports to no more than 8 minutes, less if possible. We will ding at 7.5 minutes. So you'll know you have to wind up quickly. We have a lot of information to get through. That's the sound of the ding, yes. We have a lot of information to get through, and we just want to be sure to leave time for questions and answers at the end. Mary Hansen Harrison, welcome. We're asking you to introduce this series of reports, and I'll call on the rest of the speakers in turn after you finish. Mary, your mic is open.
Oh, thank you very much, Mary Beth and Michael, as always, for setting this up for us. I believe you forgot Barbara Nielsen.
Oh, I better put her in. No, yeah. She's in there.
Well, you didn't
I
say
may
her,
not,
I don't
I may not have said that, but I have her in
right.
there. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
right.
you.
Okay. The Ghana Congress, of course, was a monumental undertaking for all of us, everyone involved, and especially our Ghana section. Their hosting with such generosity amidst so many challenges they face was extraordinary. It was an enormous investment in building a feminist movement, and we will continue that connection with our U.S. section through our going forward with our initiative of forming a global grassroots movement. Thank you all who are presenting tonight for the time, dedication, and courage to our vision and mission here in Wolf US. However, the most important part will be the next step. The next steps, I should say. And we take this with most seriously, and we'll keep our membership informed. And this is just the beginning that we'll be wanting to talk with you and share with you and hear from you, listen to you. So tonight we are starting with Pat Hines with her Day One Morning Feminist Message.
Okay, Pat Hines, your mic is open.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Mary. First, I want to say it's really nice to connect with everyone. It brought me right back to the conference. So much has happened since then, but so this is really a pleasure. I want to speak, and I was inspired by Virginia's message to us, Virginia Pratt, speak about what we learned and then beyond that. So I want to say first that for me, it was day one, which was the African Women's Feminist Peace Conference, was one of the most inspiring and memorable conferences I have attended in quite a long time. And I want to say that the reason for that is that I was incredibly inspired by the holism of the African women speakers and organizers, their holism with respect to the issue of women's equality in the world and the peace and security of their countries. And secondly, I will speak to a new partnership with the Peace and Justice organization that I direct with Wilf Sierra Leone, with whom I spent much time at the conference. So first, I loved that the Democratic Republic of the Congo team was wearing, obviously, clothing that was designed for the conference. And the thing that struck me was, in that clothing, with all the beautiful geometric designs and colors, was this phrase in French, rien sans les femmes, meaning nothing without women. And when I asked them about it, the DRC members elaborated to me, we mean everywhere, throughout the world, if women are not involved, nothing of critical use to the world will happen. Speakers in the panels of that first day reinforced this, the status of women. It's girls in the home, in the village, in cities and society, shapes the peacefulness of the country. So a professor from the University of Ghana who spoke said, the change in society begins at birth. Raise boys to do the dishes, she said, et cetera. It means, you know, going forward, raise children with equal kind of freedom, with equality and equal tasks up through government. Ayo from Ghana, who organized the conference, wrote to me because I was preparing to write a piece on this, and these are her words. Research has shown that where women's inclusion is prioritized, peace is more probable, especially when women are in a position to influence decision-making. The reasons, she wrote, are not far-fetched. Women constantly bridge boundaries and build alliances for peace. They promote dialogue and build trust. Women take an inclusive approach, whether it is to stopping conflict, contributing to peace processes, or rebuilding their societies after conflict or war. Nozizwe from South Africa, she was in the post-apartheid government, and she spoke in the panel as well the first day. She said it is not enough. She was actually a senator in their legislature, and then assistant defense secretary. She said it is not enough for women to be elected. They must transform government. The piece I wrote, quoting them, I sent to Wilf Cameroon, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Uganda, because I interviewed many of them, to AO and Joy, who is now the president of the International Board, reflecting their remarkable selves and work back to themselves. I've heard from all of them. Now, that will be shortened and published by Peace and Freedom in the next few months. Regarding the Wilf Sierra Leone partnership, with the Peace and Justice Center I direct, which is called the Trap Rock Center for Peace and Justice. The project is called Children's Books on Peace, Social Justice, and Environmental Justice. The Trap Rock Center will provide $1,000 for Wilf Sierra Leone to purchase children's books on those topics, and they will work with teachers and schools with these books to educate children on the topics of the books, peace, social justice, and environmental justice. And then I also did collaborate with them on developing a grant, a new grant that Wilf International announced as a new peace environmental initiative for the coming year and future. And they have a grant opportunity, I think it's about $4,000. So the Wilf president wrote the grant, I reviewed it, and I wrote a letter of support for that. So I anticipate a multi-year partnership with Wilf Sierra Leone among the other African countries. Now, I'll just add, I saw in the New York Times today, haven't read the article yet, but that elections are coming up in Cameroon, and there is incipient or at least premature violence around them. And Cameroon had a beautiful delegation there. And so let's all sort of keep in mind, because that is what Wilf Africa, many of them spoke about, which was starting with being present at elections to assure that they are done peacefully. And so it's clear that there's a flare-up in Cameroon, and the Wilf Cameroon no doubt will be present at that. So that's my report.
Thank you so much, Pat. And our next speaker is, where's my notes? Eileen Kirkowski, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Yeah, I'm also very delighted to be on the call and to share my inspiring experience. By the way, the women from the DRC that had that beautiful material that spells out in French, "Nothing Without Women," is now in my closet. I got a little jacket, and I love it, because it's colorful, and the puzzle pieces are so connected, which is what we're all about. I also want to touch upon the day one. It started with excellent speakers and workshops covering the theme of building a feminist peace movement. And consultant Joanna Edzoa Operi started the speaking by reporting that since the study about women in Africa was presented to the UN in 2010, little has been done. Whew. The name of the study she referred to was Critical Analysis and Feminist Perspective on the Root Causes of Violence. She emphasized, we need to strategize and come up with ideas to make peace happen. We all know this. But she said that at least four times in the process of her 20 minutes. I just want to add that here in the U.S., Wilf training and the Des Moines gathering we had with the board, we also realize we need a cohesive strategy for our work, and we are on the way. We would very much like you to join us, because this is a very exciting and interesting time to be on the board. The second speaker at the pre-conference was Professor Kate Adu Adeku, who was at the University of Ghana, where our Congress is being held. She stated, we know women are being cheated in many ways. Injustice, inequality, oppression pervades. And added, it is worse in Sierra Leone, where women are being scarred with their protest messages. They are getting raped and suffering from AIDS. Many are refugees. She suggested, as Pat has already mentioned, that we look to our youth to make changes through education. She emphasized having very young kids learn both traditional male and female jobs. To me, this was so very wise, and I found this message got repeated by a male after Congress ended. And what happened after Congress is that the WILF treasurer, Jan Quarterman, and I went to the Mole National Park in northern Ghana for some relaxation and to experience some safaris. Neither of us had gone on a safari. And my favorite park guide there was a very wise, self-taught, 60-year-old man. He explained he would be doing his guide work for 2 more years while preparing to take his father's position as chief of his village in northern Ghana. When he begins his role as a chief, he plans to set up early schooling for 2 to 6-year-olds for both girls and boys and not insist on traditional roles. He was very pro-education, and I asked him to join WILF. The other 4 morning speakers were also good. The last session prior to the afternoon workshops mentioned women mediators across the Commonwealth, WMC. This is an innovative new network of women mediators coming together from across the globe to exchange and learn from each other and to advocate for the increased representation of women in peace processes globally. And please, if anyone on the call is interested, they are looking for more help. Mediators are needed all over the world. For the afternoon workshop, guess what I chose? Mediation, which I'll spend most of my time talking about. Madeline Reese led the workshop with 33 people, including Nancy Ramsden from our Boston branch and New York. She's also the New York WILF treasurer. Jan Quarterman was there, Katia Confortini from U.S., and Mary Hansen Harrison, and of course me. We started with a definition. Mediation is where a neutral third party listens carefully to what the individuals want, reading between the lines and making sure that the parties follow mediation rules so they can settle their disputes. A mediator needs training in conflict resolution skills. And if you want to be a very good mediator, you need excellent communication and intercultural skills and must learn to listen deeply. There are different stages in the mediation process, and to get an idea of the process, I asked Madeline Reese about this privately, and she suggested to Google Dr. Nancy Love of the Pulse Institute, P-U-L-S-E, Institute in Canada. So I viewed a simulation of a mediation process on the Pulse Institute site and found it quite interesting. 2 people in the session acknowledged the UN does not always mediate well, and because they tend to want to dictate. The discussion went on. Madeline asked us a couple of questions. The first one was quick. What do you do if mediation doesn't work? Answer, mediation is first. If that fails, then there's a compulsory arbitration. Then the larger question that brought many people into the conversation. What is currently happening at grassroots local level? It was quiet while people were thinking. And in Massachusetts, Katia Confortini, who teaches conflict resolution, which is part of mediation, she pointed out when there are unequal parties involved, the less educated or less intelligent don't always get justice because they don't have a good representation. Katia explained how difficult it is for a mediator to keep neutral, for example, in a situation in which there's a sexual attack. In Africa, women, even rich women, find the system is rigged. But in some nations and in some U.S. states like the Massachusetts, restorative justice and peer justice is helping. Some other quick points.
Madeline suggested we may need laws in place for mediation between unequals would work. Some attendees disagreed that it would. There is a lot of shame and ousting from families in Africa. This makes it difficult for victims to speak out for fear of being kicked out. In a French country, biased mediators have been selected by governments, causing more and costly problems. And now the locals are willing and able to resolve their issues, and the government won't let them. In Cameroon, there are many terrible things going on. I have less than 1 minute. There's less need to get the word out. There's a big need to get the word out about what's going on in Cameroon. Research is important for good mediation. Education is important to let people know what's going on. Madeline suggested if you want to learn more about mediation, go to that WMC, Women Mediators Across the Commonwealth. They're based in the United Kingdom. In summary, one solution does not fit all. You need to know the culture and need to choose mediators very carefully. And eventually, the killing often stops anyway. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Eileen. I want to remind people again that we're trying to keep this to 8 minutes, no more. So please be more cognizant of your time. Mary Hansen Harrison, you're next. You're reporting on the Seeds workshop, I believe. Mary, are you there? Are you on mute?
Yep, I was on mute, saving everybody from my dog. Thank you, both of you, Pat and Eileen, for your work and for your talk tonight. Already, we're exciting and energized. The particular workshop that Wilf collaborated with Ghana's section, it was called Sisters, Keep the Seeds in Your Hands from West Africa to the U.S. Heartland. Aole Amali, who is the president of Ghana section, and myself coordinated the workshop, and it evolved out of the workshop that Wilf US gave at the CSW in March, with the theme of women, agriculture, and the vital revolution of U.S. farming, because all of these, as we know already, all of the problems of petrochemicals and pesticides, et cetera, come right from the U.S. And we were also on our panel with Patricia Scanelli, who is from Wilf Human Rights Program, and facilitating two is Selpa Pandey and Pat Hines. And the good thing, I think, the extraordinary thing that came out of this was what we had hoped, that we formed a circle. We had about 40 women, the facilitators, we did not particularly give our credentials. We instead gave our stories, our narratives of how we got involved and how we are connected with our research and from our life experience with this subject of keeping the seeds in our hands. And it's analogous, of course, for the destruction that corporations are globally have globally perpetuated on us right now. And in Africa, in West Africa, there's more than 80% of the seed used by the peasant communities stems from traditional species and varieties. They're collected, saved, and used in exchange according to the customary practices, in which women and elderly women in particular play a crucial role. Despite guaranteeing diversity, food systems, and rural people's rights, these traditional seeds systems are under attack as governments, corporations, and development agencies proactively promote commercial seeds and intellectual property. A recent report from the Global Network for the Right to Food and Nutrition and Global Convergence of Land and Water Struggles. The title is very long, but the message is quite precise and short. It states the imminent threat facing West Africa. Culture of seed saving is being eradicated by commercial seeds from now Bayer, which was Bayer Monsanto, and the petrochemicals that come with industrial agriculture. Mergings are resulting in companies using and abusing incredible power. And here I sit tonight in the belly of the beast, the World Food Prize, a few mile or so from me, headquarters, and where they celebrate the Green Revolution. And as we all know, it was not green perpetually. It nearly destroyed the Punjab in India and in South Africa, and now it's moving into West Africa. But in our workshop, we focused on the interest, the solutions, and the expertise brought by our attendees. And in that, we had learned from the African women attending, they told their stories and how that they are gathering together and how they are forming power in their own hands along with the seeds. And also the threats are real and imminent. So that this was a global threat that we shared with each other. We had questions, what is the impact? We asked questions, what are the impact on farmers and others by these transnational corporations? And, of course, they shared that with us. They shared the specific challenges that they're facing, and it certainly connected with those of us who were representing the Wealth U.S. The fact that they came away, they said afterwards that they came away that they were being heard, not just listening, but being heard. So it was encouraging that we sat in a circle and we're continuing that circle. Our next steps are that we have, thanks to Adelia Carabaca, who is the president of Costa Rica, Wilf has gotten in contact with the attendees who had email, and we are now forming a cohort for the furtherance of working together transnationally and forwarding our Wealth U.S. Ideal for a grassroots movement around the world. So this was very positive, and to see and feel that we actually can share face-to-face the connections that we feel and the problems that we endure, and it gave us hope. And I think it will continue. Well, I know it will continue to do so. So we are encouraging Earth Democracy and Corporations Versus Democracy issue committees to work with us, and we hope that all of you, too, will in turn, help Wealth U.S. support this important initiative to reach out.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mary. Is Barbara Nielsen on the call yet? I don't see her name, but she was scheduled to speak next. Let's see if she joins the call later. Let's go to Barbara Taft. Barbara, your mic is open.
Hi. Let me just start by saying something that Barbara Nielsen would tell everyone. For those of you who weren't at the Congress and didn't read what we did in terms of resolutions, I was one of several people. It was very international on what became the Resolutions Committee, and we did resolutions a bit differently. We actually did two omnibus resolutions. One of them was on migration and one was on militarism, and on both of them we incorporated issues of the environment. And so I thought you should know that, because I'm going to be speaking about migration. The first of the two things that I'm going to report on was an afternoon group discussion at the forum on Saturday. It was called Migration and Displacement, and it was led by Wilf Chad. There were people present from about 17 countries, if I was able to calculate that correctly, and this is what we talked about. Migration is caused by both conflicts and natural disasters. Currently, Libya has 156,000 people who have had to migrate. Niger has 186,000 refugees or displaced persons at the present time. In Africa, 1.1 million people are displaced. And we need to think of that not only as people who migrate out of countries, but we also need to address the needs of internally displaced persons known as IDPs. Some people are displaced because of weather and climate, others for economic reasons, but very often the reason is conflict. And in Cameroon, it began with economic need and progressed to a genocide. So there are issues that fall under this category of migration, such as food insecurity and health care, and those things need to be addressed. And the one that kind of goes over everything is fear. And, of course, economics is a big issue as well. We spoke a little bit about the need to change the behavior in recipient nations, those that receive the refugees, and we were pretty much in agreement that that can best be done by finding ways to humanize the migrants and tell their stories so that people do not fear them, but instead understand why they have been forced to move. One of the participants was a lady from Ethiopia, and she talked about governments, specifically her own, but she said they make refugees. And she said that when land and property is confiscated, people have nothing, and that forces them to migrate. It was mentioned also that the West didn't get rich because of itself, but because of resources from Africa, which includes, of course, slaves. At one point, we tried to talk about a specific definition of refugee, and it was interesting because people had different definitions, but there are internationally accepted or at least widely accepted definitions of refugees in all of the different categories that they fall into, economic, cultural, social, all of these things. There are definitions for what they are. But the one thing that we did agree on was that where persons are politically or religiously persecuted, that the men who migrate have an advantage of being believed, while women seem to have more trouble proving that they have been politically or religiously persecuted. And so this is a special issue that we agreed that we need to be working on. So that was a quick summary of what took place in there. It was quite a lively discussion. I'm going to also report on something that happened on Tuesday. That was the Saturday forum. But on Tuesday, when we broke up and had a variety of workshops, the one that I attended was the migrant workshop. It was led by a team from several different countries, each of whom had experience working with migrants. Most of the participants had been migrants at some point in their lives, and some of them were currently working with other migrants. Some of the people were refugees, including some who had sought refuge more than once and in several different nations. And you can imagine how disruptive that is, especially if you have a family. Others had been internally displaced, while some had sought and finally been granted political asylum. The reasons that the people in this group expressed for fleeing their native lands ranged from political through social and economic, with the bottom line in most cases being fear. We spent most of the time doing introductions, which took the form of each person telling her own story. the most memorable speaker told of having to change countries four times in her life and being a stranger everywhere that she went. When she was finally able to return to her own country, she was dismayed to learn that she was treated as a foreigner there as well. We had a preliminary discussion, and we talked about the need to resolve the root problem where the migrants come from, not where they go, and we spoke of the way migrants are treated and what actions we need to take. Heidi Meinkamp from Germany talked about recent attitudes there and in neighboring countries that are close to fascism and that many borders are now militarized. It was suggested that we need to be empowered and active as agents of change, noting that migration is a human right. And since we'll be looking at human actions, we need to find human solutions. It was noted that governments are responsible for the crises that both refugees and internally displaced persons experience, and that one of our roles should be to help educate refugees to know their basic rights. And this group has decided that they want to stay in touch and work together on solving these problems and hope that others will join us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Barbara. And while Barbara was talking, Barbara Nielsen joined the call. Barbara Nielsen, your mic is open. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I'm afraid I'm at a disadvantage because I'm not exactly sure what Barbara Taft covered, although I heard some of it and it was excellent. It makes me think that we should have more, hear more from Barbara. I can ask a question. Barbara Taft, what did you say about resolutions, not the content of the resolutions, but the process? Or did you?
I only talked about the fact that we had two resolutions and said what the general topics were and that we included environment on both.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I apologize to you all for being late. I had a work-related conflict and kept thinking that Thursday was another day until Michael said, Barbara, Thursday's today, fool. So here I am. The resolutions process this year was very unusual in that normally the planning apparently starts 6 months before the Congress, and that did not take place. I was asked to serve as a convener of the working group for the resolutions committee about 2 months before the Congress, and at the meeting of the International Board in July, where lots of things were discussed, including the reorganization proposal at some length, there was a conversation about resolutions and what had happened in the last two, actually the last three Congresses. And I proposed that we might want to consider thinking a little differently about them so that we didn't have a dozen or so resolutions that all sounded great, were enthusiastically passed by the Congress, and then nothing really happened about them. And we that was enthusiastically received, actually, by the International Board and the Secretariat. We put together an amazing group of members. It was much larger than the normal three, but what we wound up doing was taking ideas for what we saw could be worked on by all sections, and in the process determined that we really needed to talk about the kinds of systemic bad decisions, I'll use that euphemism, that had been made in the areas that Barb Taft talked about, and what we could do to give a framework for the Congress and for the delegates to go home to their sections and take that framework under the two overall concepts of fleeing for your lives, which the UN euphemistically calls migration, and which is what most of it is fleeing, and militarism, give people an opportunity to look at the scenarios we laid out as issues and the kinds of things that were being recommended as things that could be done, And in the process, we came up also with a document that has not yet been circulated, which the Secretariat is calling a toolkit, which we hope the sections will all use, including ours, to make the global that we presented and the International Congress approved into taking action locally. And that's a very exciting prospect. And the Secretariat said that they bought into it and they are promising us that they are going to move forward. We had four groups of members come forward seeking action on things that were not part of the omnibus resolutions process, and in part because they thought that what they had to say was very specific, which was true. The Congress was presented with the four topic areas, which my computer is not opening now, and approved statements of concern for us to move forward on. And I've sent that around a lot, and I hope to be able to, if I could get my computer to open, I would be able to tell you more, but I will send it to everybody on this call along with other material that I have. We are hoping that the International Board in its meeting this fall will take up the issue of Palestine and Israel, which did not make it into anything in the Congress because it was brought to the floor much later than we could deal with. It was all very exciting in the sense that when we looked back at what we were doing with the international omnibus resolutions, it fit in really, really well with the international program that has taken a different approach than the one in The Hague, and that is one that is infused with environment throughout, but not as a separate silo. And given what we're seeing elsewhere, including our own section, siloing issues is probably not as effective a way of dealing with them as incorporating them in together. So it was a very, very exciting time. The new international program has a lot of promise, and it's going to be up to us to make sure that promise is realized. The four points that were brought to us were about Wolf Polynesia on behalf of Wilp Argentina and actions that are happening there, from Wilf Italy, on behalf of something that's going on in Rome, and by Wolf Colombia, Costa Rica, and Spain regarding the issues that are going on in Nicaragua and have been for some time, which in fact the Human Rights Commission at the UN has been dealing with. So we are working on those levels too, and I thank you very much, and if you have any questions, please do let me know.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. We're going back to the next speaker, who is Jan Quarterman, our treasurer. Jan, your mic is open.
Hey, thank you, Mary Beth. I just wanted to touch on three different things. First of all, we took the opportunity to attend the pre-Congress board meeting, and it was very interesting. They held it the day before Congress gaveled in. And I just would say they conducted their business very efficiently and cordially. And the best part was at the end, each of the 30-plus sections gave a report on what was going on in their sections, their successes and their challenges. So it really brought home the importance of having an in-person meeting, or if that's not possible, then a phone call like we're doing tonight. Certainly both of those are far, far better than the email, which is, you know, also effective, but
Dan, I think you might be breaking up a little. Could you speak more directly into the phone?
Okay. This will be better. I'll hold it up here. So the kickoff, the first day of Congress on August 20th, First of all, we acknowledged the delegates from five countries who were able to attend their very first Congress as official sections. And we also gave a shout out to several new groups. So in other words, groups that are not sections yet, but are well on their way to being there. So in terms of the sections, we welcome delegates from Afghanistan, Chad, Kenya, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. Of course, they participated enthusiastically, and we enjoyed conversations with them, and also with women from the new groups, including a woman from Argentina who will be part of our Americas region under the new structure. The opening day also included a really big and fun celebration of the Nuclear Weapons Ban Treaty, which we all know was signed by 122 nations in July of 2017 and was followed by the award of the Nobel Peace Prize to the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN. And so it was a very fun and joyous time, and really reminded us of the hard work that went into it. Ray Atchison from the International, you know, gave a recap of everything that we took, and I know many of us are very well aware of it. And then I just wanted to close by letting everybody know that the section treasurers had a time to get together, thanks to our international treasurer taking the lead. And Terry has been very good about keeping the section treasurers together. We hear from her regularly, and she convenes treasurers forums. I've done that just a couple of times since I've been treasurer, and just how much all the treasurers appreciated. She's very, very open and very good about getting us together. So those are the kind of things that I wanted to highlight tonight. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jan. Moving on is Darian DeLu. Darian is from the Sacramento branch. Darian, your mic is open.
Hello. I hope you can all hear me. I can't see this on a computer screen.
Very clear.
Okay, I'm speaking from a car as a passenger, so I hope this won't break up. This is such a wonderful opportunity to hear more about the Congress in Africa. I thank the One Wilf organizers for putting this together. We had a California cluster meeting in which we got to hear from five of those who had gone to Africa, including some of the ones who are on this call, and it's a great pleasure to get to hear from the folks I hadn't heard from, and from repeated information that I missed the first time. I wanted to particularly focus on issues related to Africa and our African sections. My comments are based both on my experience at the Congress and my subsequent travels after the Congress. I stayed in Africa, in West Africa, for a month, traveling in Francophone areas in the country of Togo, that is French-speaking, and Anglophone or English-speaking countries in Ghana and Liberia. Liberia is not part of WILF at this time. We've already heard about refugee and immigration issues in Africa, and we've begun to hear about some of the many other issues. I just wanted to run through some of those because in some ways the issues of the African sections are similar to the U.S. WILF issues, but in other ways they deal with some very different conditions. For example, in Africa, as in the U.S., they're having problems with infrastructure. However, here it's more frequently our dilapidated infrastructure, whereas in Africa, they often just don't have infrastructure, or it's been destroyed in warfare, which we are fortunate here in the U.S. not to have experienced in over 100 years. Additionally, in Africa, as probably everyone realizes, development has been very limited by their experience as colonial nations in which most of their resources were taken, and as colonies, they were frequently limited to providing natural resources, that had no value added, so that the colonizing countries could then take the resources, manufacture them into things, and sell them back after adding value to the colonies. In Africa, they continue to face the challenges of dealing primarily with raw materials and lacking jobs in all kinds of manufacturing and production, which would allow them to have much more self-sufficient economies. A key issue in Africa, as in the United States, is unemployment, and closely related to unemployment, agriculture. These two are closely related because rural people in Africa are increasingly unable to survive as farmers. In many cases, their land is taken from them through their national governments, giving it to corporations, or corporations just taking it, or someone with more money just taking it. Additionally, farmers are facing droughts or flooding in many cases.
Are you there, Darian? We've lost Darian's audio. Michael is working to try and get it back. Probably the next thing we'll do then is, let's give her another minute and see if you can get her back. We're winding down on the number of reports, so, and we're pretty much on time, so that makes me feel good. I always feel like I should have a whistle to keep everybody in line, but it's going very well. Michael, any words from Darian?
Darian's back. Go ahead, Darian.
Okay, I'm not sure where I cut out, but I was talking about the challenges of agriculture in Africa. And especially because they are producing basically raw materials, those commodity prices have dropped considerably, especially for cash crops like cacao and coffee. Also, agriculturally, they're dealing with agribusiness and genetically modified organisms, such as Mary talked about. Additionally, an overwhelming issue in Africa and very important for Wilt is war. And they have civil wars, there are invasions, and there's quite a bit of terrorism. War becomes a gender issue because of the way that men are militarized through their experience in war. Domestic violence and rape become what is left over from the war for decades afterwards. Additionally, the rape issues, rape being used as a weapon of war, not only harms women in many other ways, but also contributes to the spread of AIDS or HIV. Another factor for women in terms of AIDS and HIV is female genital mutilation, which is a human rights and justice issue. For women in Africa, another key issue is education. The level of ignorance that I found in my travels among especially rural people who have limited access to schooling was very different from the kinds of ignorance we are accustomed to here, because people do not even know about basic concepts of things. So moving on, I want to talk briefly about the regions and sections in Africa. The African region is actually quite large with, I believe it's 16 groups and sections. As was mentioned, we added a few African sections during the, there are also a number of national groups, which is the organization that is preliminary to forming a section. They've had a regional conference in Africa, and I'll zip along. In terms of the regions, The African, I'll wrap this up in just a moment. The African region has been very successful through a regional conference. In contrast, we in the Americas have had a hard time. We haven't had a regional conference. And I had hoped to talk more about governance issues, but the international WILF has shifted from a section-based form of governance to a regional-based form because the international board based in sections was found to be ungovernable. So I'll turn that over to Mary.
Mary Hansen-Harrison, your mic is open.
Yes, I hope most of you are familiar with governance changes, the overall the reorganization plan, as we called it. Perhaps you're not. It's going to be difficult. If you email me, I'll be glad to have a dialogue with you and send you the information. We were one of, I think, three other countries primarily the Americas, to dissent. WILF US held a one WILF call, if you remember, Mary Beth and Michael, we around April 24th to take a survey of those of you as members who have educated themselves and read the reorganization plan or the draft. We didn't really get a final draft until several sessions later or several months later, not several months, but months later. At that call, we had two in support and three abstained and the 14 not in support of accepting the reorganization plan. We talked with many of our members, and we being those of us on the board who were working very hard as not only delegates, but also just plain members of WILF to have our members understand the questions that we had and that we had overriding concerns that were shared by other sections in the Americas in particular. Although sotto voce, I should say, underneath the conversation, the concern about democracy and representation. Perhaps I'll explain this. We are divided and have been divided into regions since Hague in 2015. It is now in the reorganization plan that each region will have a representative, that is a regional representative, one per region, and an alternate also will, and they will be nominated and elected shortly. The concerns we have were first the proposed regions and the individual sections within them are widely divergent in size, population, language, and dramatically different communication and organizing styles. So it's very hard to understand how one person can represent that vast a collection of members. I mean, we just now, as Darian said, we had 16 sections or groups just from Africa. And that's widely divergent, as everyone I'm sure knows. Secondly, the method of choosing the regional representative and alternates could tend to put forward only recognized members. That is, leading to sort of a cadre of institutionally accepted members rather than those who question authority. And I want you to really make sure that you understand that the regional representative and alternative do not necessarily represent a section's decisions. they may vote according to their own conscience. Thirdly, the substantial concern that this plan undermines our membership-based grassroots decision-making and leads to a top-down, trickle-down management of policies and activism. Fourthly, and the most pragmatic concern, how do we support these representatives, these volunteers who will need training, financial aid for traveling, and effective ways to meet the challenges of communicating across geographically huge and culturally and linguistic disparate areas, and perhaps most importantly, who pays for that travel and training. We tried many times to have a dialogue with international, and we expressed our all through the draft process for months. We kept giving them our dissent written and over and over again, but never got a reaction until the first few days, a few days before we left, Eileen Kokowski did reach out and really was tenacious. And we did have a conversation with three of the international members, and it was cordial and I think a good experience in such, but the dialogue really didn't change. Our views, we respectfully still dissented. And I will state here very clearly, and I stated before we left, we were not there to win or lose. We were there to speak our piece. And it's P-E-A-C-E as well. We were there to challenge international to think about the democratic influence that we are extending or trying to give to other countries, that we extend it to the Americas as well, and that we were Congress is the final decision making body for Wilf, and we were to decide right there in a session with all of us in one room if we were going to accept this or not, this reorganization plan. I did speak for about 3 minutes, I think, and explain our dissent as best I could. And it was also noted that we were only given like half an hour, 45 minutes. The president of Colombia asked that we have more time to discuss this openly and transparently so that everybody could hear the views from all around the world at which we represented. They did, that is the board did accept that we could have a two-hour session the next day, and there were 40 or 50 women who showed up, and we did have a chance to talk and exchange ideas and instill the dialogue. We ended up with the same place where we started, and I think there was, when we took the vote, it was 16 votes against us, and the rest for it. So I'm saying that I was proud and honored to represent the Americas and to represent a plea for a more democratic way to run WILF as a membership-based organization. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mary. We have one more speaker, Virginia Pratt. Virginia, your mic is open.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for arranging this call. I still am kind of bubbling over at how inspiring the Congress was for me. And for me, the biggest take home was I feel we should be learning from the African women and the African sections. I feel that we could benefit by learning how to emulate a lot of what they appear to be doing. I have been to 4 international congresses. I went to the Congress in Bolivia, the one in Costa Rica, the one at The Hague, and now this one. For me, this was the most inspiring Congress, the one that filled me with the most hope for the growth of our organization. What I feel we could learn from them, most importantly, is how to have visibility, how to appear in a cohesive fashion, how to grow rapidly while bringing people on board, and how to have an intergenerational group. I frequently observed young girls participating and assisting with the Congress. And I thought it appeared to me that they were paying a lot of attention to what was being said and that they were observing very keenly how organizing was being done, how educating was being done. We struggle with trying to figure out how to have a why Wilf. They appear to me to be growing the young women who are going to take over or be involved in the next 5 or 10 years. When I went to the meeting in The Hague, I remember distinctly the DRC group, but I don't recall 11 Central African nations having representatives or knowing that there were 11 new sections in Central Africa. So I think we should be saying, how in a period of few years have 11 new sections started? How did they get their members up to speed? How are they able to competently participate and help facilitate an international congress? We should also pay attention to the way that they integrated the arts so that the meeting was not just an intellectual meeting, although there was a lot of intellectual ideas, but it was one that made us feel, not just think, but feel. How can we generate passion? How can we go to lived experience? How can we tap into and find what motivates people to come together, to be part of the organization, to be under a broad banner, to claim, I am a feminist, I am here to further a feminist movement and to develop a feminist movement. We should also pay attention to the way that they use color and the way that they use style. It may seem simplistic, but when their members all wore the same pattern, it was a visible demonstration of cohesiveness and of forwarding an identity. In the same way or similar manner in which Cold Pink brilliantly captured the color pink, and when you see the women in pink, you know they're Code Pink. We really could learn from this. We're not good with visibility in the way that they were. So that for me is what I think. My thinking as a result of going to the trip shifted. I have frequently thought of African women as victims, downtrodden. I don't think of African women as victims. It doesn't mean that there aren't any who are victims of sexual assault or mistreatment. But I think of African women now as strong women. And that, for me, was something that I learned that I could not have come to without the experience of being there.
Thank you very much, Virginia. And thank everyone for those really great reports. We're going to have some questions now from our members on the call. I know that some of you have been very anxiously awaiting Q&A. So if you would like to ask a question, please keep your questions short so we can get more of them in. When you are called on, please give your name and location. And the name of the person to whom you want to direct your question, if you have someone in mind. Press number 1 on your phone keypad to get on the stack for a question. And once again, when we call on you, please give your name, your full name, your location, and the name of the person to whom you want to direct your question. Okay. So far we have one question, and I know Jean Verthane has been waiting for a while to ask it. So Jean, why don't you go ahead? Your mic is open.
Thank you very much for this gathering. It's really been terrific, and it was certainly the Ghanaian Congress was extraordinary in terms of inspiration, as Virginia and others have said.
Can you tell us where you're located?
Yeah, I'm getting to that. I'm from New York City. I'm an independent because the existing branch dissolved itself into the grannies. So there is no branch here. So I just sort of relate to Boston when I can and national and international when I can. I just want to make 3 quick comments. One of the advantages I had as being a sort of freelance observer is talking in some depth with personalities that stood out to me. One in particular was a young woman in her 20s named 27-year-old Linda Nyama Anaba, and she directed the poll observers for the whole of Ghana, and she did such a great job that she went on to do it in Kenya in their elections. So, you know, many of these people come with extraordinary organizational ability and experiences. And I spent a lot of time, as much as I could, with the Afghan women who were there, because I spent 5 years of my life with Iranian and Afghan women in my younger days. And so they were very concerned because they felt cut off from Middle Eastern women, from other Muslim women. I just mentioned that. And there is no, I mean, they experienced so much violence. So a lot of it was dealing with the amount of violence that they have to deal with. I mean, they can't go from point A to point B without risking their lives. And then I just wanted to say, Mary Hansen Harrison's workshop was superb. I just thought it was excellent. And she talked about 3 different meetings as I counted, but I only went to one of them, and I think she referred to it as having about 40 people, so I think that's the one I went to. But one thing I want that I drew from that conference and conversations afterward with the people involved, especially the African women, was that land use is extremely tied up with patriarchy, extremely tied up with patriarchy. And so that the men sit on the sidelines and supervise the women who do the actual work. And I've heard that from Africans, male and female, here in New York. And I will make reference to the fact that I represented WILF US for 7 years at the UN and had many, many experiences in programs and in conversations on this point and related points. And, you know, I thought it was excellent, the ineffective use of pesticides and GMOs and what is endangering traditional agriculture. At the same time, men are endangering it in a different way. So when I ask a couple of women, I said, what's changed in your lives in the last 10 years, and they both said that they had inherited land from their fathers, which I thought was really quite incredible. And their older brother, one older brother thought it was a wonderful idea that his younger sister inherited land, and another one was very angry. But I just cite those little anecdotes to just give a bit of the flavor of what women in Africa have to deal with, and this question of hunger that we've been talking about with refugees and so on and so forth. So I wanted to cite one more person, and that's Regina Bertram. The women from the Congo told me that they considered Regina Bertram, who was a former international president, as key to enlarging wealth in Africa. Sorry, I didn't get my question in, but Mary sort of answered it, so we'll just leave it at that.
You have 30 seconds left if you want to keep going. That's a 30-second
vote. Well, I just wanted to ask her if there was any, if there were any other ongoing consequences for the new organization, because there was a lot of discussion about it in the Americas. And so I just, you know, any other ramifications from this? Because it's hard to envision one person representing two continents.
We don't really have a plethora of questions right now. So let's expand the question asking a little bit longer than 90 seconds. I should ask, is there anyone on the call who attended the Congress in Ghana who has not spoken and wants to say something? If there is, press number 2 on your phone keypad. I don't want to not hear from people. I just had forgotten to ask. I apologize, Jean Verthain. I didn't realize you were wanting to speak. Okay, so I don't see anybody else. So let's go next to the questions. And I got questions here from, Michael. Let's see. Jan Hively. Jan, your mic is open. And please
tell us again
your full name, your location, and to whom you're addressing your question.
Thank you. This is Jan Hively from Wilp, Cape Cod on Yarmouth in Massachusetts. It's a technical question, actually. I don't have access to the computer from where I have the phone here. And I'm wondering if there's any possibility of getting the names of the people who did the presentation so that I can do a more careful report for our meeting that's going to be occurring next week. They're very interested.
I can send that out. I'll put them on the text pad. Well, they are on the text pad. And we'll be sending out the text pad to everyone, so you'll have the list.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So let's see. Next, Margaret Pecoraro.
Hi. This is Margaret Pecoraro from the Tucson branch, and I just direct the question to whomever can answer it. Is there a video of the entire Ghana conference? And was there ever one for The Hague? And also for these calls, are there videos, I mean, or at least audio archives and records for it? Because it can be very helpful for later.
Mary Hansen-Harrison, can you answer about if there's a video of the Congress in The Hague?
The Hague Congress in 2015? No,
I'm sorry, in Ghana.
They do have some, I believe, and I think it was of the, I'm not sure, but I did ask that question, and I think they tried to do it. So, if you join the MyWILF on the webpage, on the international webpage, you'll be able to see if they have videos available yet.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Now,
go ahead, Margaret.
Do you ever have audios of records for these calls?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, well, it's tricky. It's tricky, Margaret, and I'll tell you why. We had been posting the audio recordings of these calls on our website. I don't know if people were trying to listen to them or not. I assumed that they were up there and easy to access because I could see the link to the video, to the audio, I'm sorry. But someone pointed out to me a while ago that those links for the audio, many of them are not working. And I've spoken to Glenn at our website about it, and he's just not able to figure out how to make them easy to listen to. So we are in the process of trying to rethink our website, and hopefully we're going to come up with an audio player that is a whole lot more user-friendly. But Michael has been also trying to work on how we might post these audio recordings more effectively on our website in the meantime, on our current website. It's very tricky, but Michael, do you want to say anything about how that works?
Sure. Hi, everybody. So here's pretty much the breakdown is kind of like this. There's a multi-step process right now to, if you go on to the wilfus.org site to listen to audio. And I'd be happy to, if you ever want, anyone wants to go on a tech training that I do, we just had one this past Monday, I could kind of walk you through it, maybe screen share it. It is a multi-step process. It's not always necessarily intuitive. Some of them are a little bit more intuitive than others because there's not like a standardized way right now that they're being posted. However, we have a demo kind of site right now, and we're working on kind of like this an audio player that's really, really easy to use. So you can just go on and just press play right on the homepage. Each month, One Wolf Call will be updated right on the homepage of the wilfus.org site, and subsequently
But is there any way to get them onto the current website, Michael, so that people can listen to them?
The wilfus.org present site?
Yes. The one that people can actually get to.
Because of how things are structured, that's really a Glenn question. And I think the answer right now is no, given the current limitations that we have in regards to just that in general. However, what we can do, and I know this might be a little bit frustrating if folks want to share it, but what we can do is see about getting the audio up on the demo site. What would happen is folks would be able to access it and listen to it themselves on a demo site. Probably ask everybody to please refrain from sharing the link widely, because what's going to happen to the demo link is it's not going to exist anymore. Once the demo site goes live. And what that means is the demo site has a different link, obviously, than wilfus.org. So once the demo becomes wilfus.org, any links to the demo site are going to be broken, and you're not going to be accessing it anymore. So if you want to share it with people who might want to archive the audio link and be able to go back to it in the future, what I would recommend is just not to share it yet, or share it and tell them that. And then if you wanted afterwards, when the link does go live, you'll be able to just maybe email it again with the link that's going to always be there and never go away. This is kind of an issue only because we're kind of in a state of flux in between two sites. And once that's no longer, this won't be an issue ever again.
I'm just hoping that there will always be a permanent record for Wilf all over the world of these conversations and the presentations.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have all the audio files stored and so forth.
Thank you very much.
Yep. You're welcome.
Okay. Our next question comes from Pat Hines. Pat, your mic is open.
Yeah, thank you, and thank everyone for very, very interesting presentations. It's not so much a question, just two comments. First, Virginia, I just want to say how impressed I was by your presentation. I felt the same way as you. You expressed it so well. And in terms of seeing African women, which is what we saw at the conference, not as victims, but as incredible models for all of us present there of strength and conscious, radical feminist consciousness for their organizing capacity, and the fact that they are the fastest growing part of WILF, and also they're younger, which I think creates a wonderful future for WILF. The other thing I wanted to say was to Mary that what struck me, because I was a member at large and not familiar with the history of the dissidents to the direction that International WILF was going to, from section to region. And when I was there, I got sort of a quick tutoring in it. But what struck me was that other regions, I'm talking Asia-Pacific because I was on that phone call, Europe, many languages there, but also Africa. I asked Africans about it. Did not have the same problematic that the U.S. did with respect to language. I mean, ours is two, if at max three languages, and those countries have that or more. I mean, those other regions would. And so I felt that there might be something to learn from them. That's what I want to say, in terms of what is it that does not create the obstacles for them that it does for U.S. most overtly, and I think more sotto voce for the other partners in Central America and South America. So it's not to ask for a response so much as to give my impressions, having been on a learning curve throughout preparing for the Congress and then being there as well. So that's it. Thanks, everyone, for your very rich contributions.
I think, again, if you want to ask a question, press number one on your phone keypad. And I think I'll take this opportunity. I'd like to ask Eileen Kirkoski, the name of the doctor from the Pulse Institute. I didn't get her last name. Was it Dr. Nancy Booth?
Love. It was Love.
Oh, thank you very much. all right. I have a question from Jane Doyle. Jane, please give us your location and to whom you want to direct your question.
Okay. What I wrote is that I have laryngitis. And so I don't want to try to talk because I sound very hoarse and very sexy. So at this point, I'll just thank all the people who have given reports. It was a wonderful delegation to be part of. And I hope that sometime in the future that we will talk specifically about militarism, because I think that's a very important part of what has come out of both my experience and Congress in general.
Okay, thanks, Jane. I too am struggling with a cold and may be able to hear it in my voice. We have another question from Nancy Price. Nancy, please tell us where you're from and who you'd like to direct your question to.
Well, this is Nancy Price in Davis, California. I just wanted to mention, while the discussion on getting the calls, the recorded calls on the website, that Gene Hayes in Fresno has a WILF program on the local community public radio station every month, and it is a WILF program. It would be nice to put that up on the website, as well as some other products from branches. For example, they have a DVD on fracking in the Central Valley called Dirty Beyond Belief. And so
Crude Beyond Belief.
Thank you very much. So it might be nice to think about how to get those materials up in a special section of the home page of the website.
Yes, that's a very good idea. And I think Michael and Kelsey are both working on those changes that will give us a little more flexibility in those areas.
Mm-hmm, great.
There's been a lot of frustration over the years about the lack of flexibility of our current website, and we're trying to address that as we move forward to find an alternative. So,
wonderful.
But back to the Ghana conference, are there any more questions? Anyone can ask by raising their hand. Press number 1 on your phone keypad. I wanted to thank everybody for their reports and their questions. And I just wanted to report last month, we had Ricky Ott talking about Ultimate Civics. And she emailed me today with an update. She wanted to report that an educator from Telos Academy, which is in in Utah, and it's an academy for troubled boys, has stepped up to teach the full Ultimate Civics Activating My Democracy lesson set starting on October 24th. So they're very excited about that. Another development, the U.S. Green Building Council Learning Lab is conducting a national targeted marketing campaign for the Activating My Democracy lessons that will start next week. And Ultimate Civics will run a parallel social media campaign. WILF members are welcome and encouraged to help share information with educators in their community. I know particularly the Burlington, Vermont branch has developed some pretty good relationships with their local educators, so that might be a possibility. Ricky also reports that online trainings are being scheduled from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern. And a notice for sign-up will be welcome. These are trainings to learn how to present these lessons. If you're interested, go to the Ultimate Civics website. That's ultimatecivics.org. She has, you know, those are really exciting developments. And speaking for the Corporations versus Democracy Committee, we are really excited that those curriculums are moving forward, and I would encourage branches, if they are interested in learning more about it, to contact ultimatecivics.org and Ricky Ott. I'm looking to see, and we have one question now from Cheryl Spencer. Cheryl, please state where you're from and to whom you'd like to direct your question.
Good evening. I'm from the Palo Alto Peninsula chapter, and in fact, what I'm doing is asking that the Northern California branches who may be interested in hearing Mary Hansen Harrison when she visits our area November the 8th through the 10th, if they would stay on the soapbox, maybe Michael will put us into the into a special room so we can discuss with Mary what she'd like to do while she's in our area before she goes to Santa Cruz on November the 10th. Seems like we have a lot of representatives of our branches on this call, and so when we get to the soapbox, if they could stay on and we'll have a little discussion. I noticed this all-member call Thursday, November the 8th, and that is the day that Mary flies in to San Francisco, and I presume it'll be a call at 4 o'clock our time. So I'm just trying to fold that new information into what we might do to host Mary and have her talk to some of us in Northern California, probably based around Palo Alto. Please stay on the line for the soapbox if you want to talk, and I am hoping Mary will stay on the line too, give us her desires.
Thank you, Cheryl. Mary, do you want to talk a little bit about the topics that you'll be covering in your visit to California and the branches that you're planning already to visit?
Sure. I'd love to. The possibility of reaching out to more branches came up just recently, so that's very exciting. At first, a few weeks ago, I was asked to come to Santa Cruz to speak on the 10th to a group of WILF members and related audience. And then on the 11th to give the keynote speech at the Veterans for Peace and WILF event on Veterans Day. I just wanted to say the title of the first speech would be Seeds of Change, Women, War, and Climate Justice. The Veterans Day speech will be Pacifism in the Age of Terror, What Good Is It? So that will give you a little bit of, Cheryl, indication of, you know, where I'm sort of heading, and if I can then talk to you afterwards, that will be great.
Yes, we always have a soapbox section right after this call, so we'll ask California branches to stay on to go over that. I don't see any other hands up right now, I want to thank again all of the delegates for their reports. Thanks to our members for their questions, for calling in to learn more about the experience that was the Ghana Congress. I think Virginia hit on some really important lessons that the African women have to teach us, particularly about visibility and cohesiveness. And of course, this is very much what we've been working towards with our solidarity event. And I really want to get us all thinking about plans for solidarity events in 2019. There's so much that we possibly could focus on. I want you all to put on your thinking caps and come up with some ideas about what kinds of solidarity events could really get you excited about doing something in your communities and that would be replicable across the United States, where we can stand together as WILF on one day with one message as one WILF. So be thinking about that, and we'll try and talk about it on our next month's call, which will be Thursday, November 8th. Put it on your calendars and remind other members to attend. This is an all-member call, and that only works if all members attend. So, as always, thanks to Michael Ippolito for engineering the call. We'll stay online for another 20 minutes or so for the soapbox. Remain online if you want to be part of that casual conversation that continues our dialogue. Otherwise, we'll say goodnight.
Well, but before we say goodnight, sorry to end the segue here. There's one hand up right now. There's a question.
Oh, okay.
Odile, your mic's live, Odile.
Hello? Hello.
Hello, Odile. I'm glad you made it on with your question.
I am sorry. I had some friends that I had not seen from a long time tonight, so I could not get out of it, but I wanted to ask if it was going to be recorded so I could listen to the report.
Well, the answer is there will be a recording. And we'll try our best to figure out how to get it to you.
Thank you very much, Beth.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll say goodnight. Remember, November 8th is our next call. Remember, there's peace conferences in D.C. If you're a D.C. member, and it might be really important for you to be represented there. Michael, please open all the mics so we can say goodnight. Okay, good night, everybody, and thank you for coming. And stay on board for the soapbox section.
Good night.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Thank you, Michael, and everybody.
Yeah.
Good night. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night, everybody.
It was exciting.
Good night, Gracie. Good night, Gracie. Say good night, Gracie.
Okay, great. So it's just us girls and Michael. So how do we want to handle this? Cheryl, do you want to talk about Mary's visit, or do you want Mary to do it? How would we proceed?
Well, I don't know if there are beyond the Northern California. Michael could put, you could press a button and say you're a Northern California person interested in talking with Mary about her visit. November the 8th.
Oh, good idea.
If folks wanted to, we could do breakout rooms, yeah.
Yes, please.
Well, do you want to do a breakout room? Because we've got other people here.
So
those of us who want to talk to Mary Hansen and want to see if their branch wants to try and meet with her while she's in our area, then we should go in a breakout room.
All right, so if anyone is interested in being in that breakout room and talking about possibly entertaining Mary, having her be a speaker at your Northern California branch, please press number 2 on your phone keypad. Michael, your mic is open. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't, but Julie made really good dinner tonight. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have...
All right, so hold on 1 second. Everybody just press 2.
Everybody? Everybody or the ones who want to be in the breakout?
I mean, I have 16 out of 16 twos up right now, which is weird because that makes me think that somebody pressed something. I hope no one who has a conductor link pressed anything because it looks like someone did. So I'm going to put the hands down.
Uh-oh,
it kind of just did a null vote. Did you? Okay.
Start over.
Let's try that again. Start over again.
Press number 2. If you're in Northern California and are interested in talking about bringing Mary Hansen Harrison to your branch. So let's see, that's Joan Goddard, Cheryl Spencer.
I have disappeared from the face of the earth here. I don't know why.
No, you're still
Barbara
on.
No, on the list of people on the call, I'm not showing up.
Yes, you are.
Barbara, you have to refresh. You have to refresh, Barbara. Refresh your conductor.
You're at the top of the list, Barbara. So all of you people with number 2s, Michael will put into a breakout room with Mary Hansen Harrison, and perhaps you can start talking about it. If you would join
in, and folks, when you are done, Mary and others, Joan, Cheryl, Roberta, Mario, when you're done, just do me a favor, please, and press the number 5, and I can pull you back into the main room, okay?
Thank you.
And Sandy Thacker, are you going to join us, Sandy Thacker?
Sandy, your mic's open to respond if you want.
Sandy, are you still on the call?
Yeah, she is.
Well, her phone is.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So Sandy's not responding. Okay, you're in the room in two, one, you're in the room.
Go ahead and put Sandy Thacker in there as well, okay?
She's in the room. Okay, great. So just real quick, just so we know right now, so everybody knows, we have Mary Beth, Julie Durgan from Boston, Margaret Pecoraro from Tucson, Joan Eckline from Boston, Jean Verthin from at Lodge, New York City, Odile from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Carol Troop, I can't get cut off, from Santa Cruz.
Michael, would you check with Mario Galvin? He says he's not a member. I have no idea how we got on this call. Could you just check with him, please?
Okay, sure. Hold on 1 second. I'll do that. I'll be right back.
Thank you. So all of us here in not the breakout room, how did you think the call went? I have a question I'd like to ask you after you tell me how you think the call went. I think your microphones are all open, so just jump right in.
Wonderfully. I thought it was absolutely fabulous.
Good. It was almost like being in Africa, wasn't it?
Yes.
I could see those bright colors and the T-shirts and those women with the headscarves, and I just thought I could put myself right there.
I wish I could. We could have been. We wanted to be, but it just wasn't possible this year.
Yeah. Well, I had no desire to go to Ghana in August, but I'm glad that other people thought it was important to go. They certainly seem to have gotten a lot out of it.
Well, they were in air-conditioned buildings, weren't they?
No.
Accra,
no, they were not.
Accra has sea breezes. It was wonderful compared with New York City.
Oh, great then.
Yeah, in some cases they were in rooms without hot water. So, it was not exactly a five-star resort, but the charm of the place made up for all of that, from what I hear. And it was just a beautiful landscape, seaside area. Plus, so many of the folks got to hang out and do other touring afterwards, which was nice.
What about the ideas that came out of the Congress? Were you excited by any of the ideas?
Are you asking Jean? She was the one who was there.
Well, I just, first of all, it was extremely well organized, just so well organized compared with Bolivia and even The Hague. Everything, and there were moments when we had tea, there were moments when we had coffee, there was music, and in other words, there was an interrelationship between enjoying ourselves and having very serious discussions. Now, you'd have to hear from people reporting on workshops and high-level meetings. I couldn't attend the meetings because or the board meetings, although I guess it was open just for observation because I was just an observer and there is no branch in New York City. So I found it deeply inspiring just to talk with people from many countries. There was something about it was people were much more accessible than in the other two congresses. I don't know if I'm accurate or not, but I found it people were very, very available. And I think part of the
international leadership, you mean, or the Accra folks?
To give you an example, the Ghanaian president met all of the planes that she possibly could and either hugged us or shook our hands. I mean, I thought that was such hospitality. And
wow.
Then, as I said, every morning there was a coffee break, and every afternoon there was tea and coffee, and some treats. So, you know, it was just beautifully, beautifully organized. Everything took place on time within a easygoing framework, and I just was extremely impressed. I organized a trip to the largest slave castle, which was my second reason for going to Ghana. I was on a personal mission, a personal pilgrimage, but that's aside from the Congress. That was the first choice. I was extremely impressed. And the young men who were there were also very serious and thoughtful and so on, as other people said, as were the very young people who were taking part in helping move people from place to place. If you couldn't find the internet, somebody was always there to help you. many little things that made it a very
really nice.
Agreeable.
Jean, I'm interested in you saying that the New York City branch is defunct, because Barbara Nielsen it has been quite adamant that they are not defunct. Can I ask if you would be willing to have a discussion with Barbara so you can compare perspectives?
Well, Barbara and I have discussed it. I don't know what she means by saying they're not defunct. There were lawsuits and lawsuits. It was terrible, a terrible situation. It had to do with conflict over money. And I tried to start two chapters and make them in northern Manhattan, because this is where I live, and with young people, you know, much younger people, and I was shot down. So I just decided I'm an independent, and that's that.
Well, you were shot down by who, if there's no other branch there?
So I would be unkind to the person who was the president. I would not be thoughtful about other members who were much more active. They were much more active because they were just becoming part of the community. They were becoming part of the Grannies. They wanted to do mostly writing songs to sing, number one, and number two, nonviolent actions. In other words, sit-ins at recruiting stations and so on and so forth. Those are their two options. And I have to say, I have a couple of friends who are very lovely people who are participate in that, and that was their choice. And I was not in favor of that choice, but so I just sort of sat on the sideline after a while. And I was going to the UN a great deal and reporting. You can find some of my reports online if you Google my name. I didn't get any sense that Barbara Nielsen says that there's a branch.
Yeah, she's quite insistent that they still exist and are operational. So that's why Barbara Nielsen.
Well, who's speaking right now?
Mary Beth.
Oh, Mary Beth. Well, I don't
know
where she got that idea. One thing she did say to me was that she said that I certainly did try. I wrote reports on what was happening at the UN. Now, I was concentrating mostly on nuclear disarmament, and my colleague was concentrating on CSW. So we had two streams that we focused on because we felt it's so massive. Those were the two that would be most concern.
Right.
I never heard her say that. But I will try to get a chance to talk with her and ask her what she means.
I would appreciate that. I keep hearing both things, and I think national needs to know which is true.
Yes.
So
very, very true.
I have a question for you all who are from branches. The people who are from branches who normally get on this call, would you be willing to be part of an effort to reach out to the branches that are never on this call? If we gave you like two or three people to call and say,
I'm on the branch. I'm on the One Wealth call. My branch is represented. We're on because we feel it's valuable. We've learned a lot. We enjoy, you know, hearing from other members around the country. It makes us feel like One Wealth, and we get ideas for strategies. Would you be willing to call two or three other branches and have that discussion?
Of course, I would.
All right, Margaret. Mm-hmm. How about Joan Eckline? Would you be willing to do that? Joan? Joan is probably falling. Joan, are you there?
Are you talking to Joan Eckline?
Yes, I am.
I'm half here.
You what?
I'm only half here.
Oh, well, my question, Margaret, is, Joan, would you be willing to call and talk to two or three other branches who never get on this call and tell them why?
I'm not good at that anymore. I'm not good at that anymore.
Okay, so that's a no. Odile, would you be willing to call two or three branches? Good.
Willing, if you give me two to three number, I will call them.
Thank you. And Julie, will you do that? Are you on the call, Julie? She's probably serving dinner right now. Carolyn Tripti from Santa Cruz.
Hi.
Are you on the call?
Yeah, this
is Kathy.
Yeah.
Okay. We can't see your full name. Kathy, if I gave you the names for two or three other branches who never get on this call, would you be willing to make a call and ask them if they would consider doing it?
I was
sure.
Say
hi.
Okay.
It's here in California, it's at 4 o'clock, so some people are available and some aren't.
Right, but I would give you names of people around the country, not just in California.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I cannot make all those calls myself. I have so many other calls that I'm obligated to make, and yet they have to happen because this is a One Wealth call, and it will only be One Wealth if we get all of our branches represented. So.
Can you tell, Mary Beth, can you tell us what branches are not on the call, where they are, or just give us an idea of if it's a section of the country or if it's a big city, little city, whatever?
It's a combination. The Bloomington, Indiana is rarely on the call.
Oh, no.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of our list here. So, the main branch in, Brunswick, Maine, never on the call. The Boston branch is almost always on the call if somebody is represented. The Madison, Wisconsin branch, rarely on the call.
I'll call Madison, Wisconsin because I have strong ties to Madison. This is Jean. It's Jean speaking.
Oh, okay, good.
If you send me who to call, I would love to call Madison, Wisconsin. I will call Madison and Maine if you send me those numbers.
I sure will.
I'll
Mary Beth. What's that?
Oh, sorry, did I interrupt? I thought they were done. No, this is Julie.
Okay.
I just want to say that for some reason, I wasn't muted on my phone, but for some reason I was muted on the conductor link.
Okay. Well,
I was saying yes. I will definitely.
All right, I'm going to give Julie two or three names, too. Thank you. Yeah, and I think that's important because, you know, if I call them, they'd also sound like I'm, you know, saying what a great thing I'm doing. And it's really not about me. It's about all
it
of us getting together.
You are doing a great thing.
Well, thank
sure.
you. But
for sure.
It's really the point of, you know, being able to hear. I think it's so exciting to be able to hear the voices of WILF members from all across the country and hear what they're working on, hear what they're doing, all of that. I can tell you that the development committee has been, you know, trying to think long and hard about how best to outreach to foundations to get grants for some of the work that National is doing and our branches are doing. And one of the things we realize we need is better information from the branches about what it is you're doing and quantifying information to say, all right, you did an event, how many people worked on it, how many people came, how many organizations did you collaborate with, and what was the impact of this event, what changed in your community because you did this event. So those are the kinds of information we're going to try and start to collect. I hope people will be patient with us, because the fact is, when we go out to talk to foundations, these are the questions they ask us. What are you doing? And what are you doing that's making a difference? And how many people are you touching?
They're very welcoming. I made calls like that, 10 years ago to foundations when I was collaborating with Mary Day. And they were very, very welcoming. WILF is very, very respected. So nobody needs to be nervous about making the calls. With information, they were just very responsive. It's Jean speaking.
Yes. Did we get grants from them, Jean?
I don't know, because I don't write proposals. I never wrote any proposals. Nobody ever asked me to, and I wouldn't want to write one cold, because some people have great expertise in that area.
Yes, Margaret, you were asking me something.
Oh, the things that you just, the points that we should make in these calls, can you, or have somebody else dictate it, just maybe 10 sentences of things that we should remember to do, all these things on this call?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Good point. I'll get you some talking points.
It's good to ask members.
All right.
Well, I was just going to say it's good to ask members if they have any proposal writing experience, because many branches.
Well, you know, we just did a member survey and asked people to give us their skills. And there were some people who write grants in that collection. So I'm going to be contacting them if I ever get time.
That's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
And anyway, youth recruitment is number one in my mind. After everything I've been through, it's just number one.
It's such a pity that we have no real presence in New York City.
See, we were going to meet in the UN office. It was the perfect location because it's very centrally located. We had I had all sorts of people interested in us forming another group, but it was just constant conflict with people who weren't doing anything. Pardon me for saying this. I can be pretty blunt about it, but I mean.
Well, are you still in touch with those people in New York?
These people have aged out, or they're very involved with the grannies. So
the new people that you were trying to get that you had lined up.
They've gone on. Some people have moved away, and they've gone on to other pursuits. And I've just frankly burned out on the issue, and it's so frustrating. It was so frustrating to me, but I really don't feel any motivation to do anything. You know, I'll pat people on the back.
Okay, so I does that gong mean that the California people have rejoined us?
No, that doesn't mean that. I'm so sorry to interrupt, folks. Pardon me, Jean. I didn't mean to cut you short. But there's an outstanding question in the other breakout, and it needs some clarification. Mary Beth, I just need an answer. The November call, the all-member call, is that synonymous with the One Wolf call, or is that special call?
Yeah.
It is.
No,
that's what we all thought. That's what I said, but they just wanted to, because the vernacular was different. Pardon the interruption, Jean. Please excuse my interruption.
Oh, is it? No problem. Let me ask you while you're on the line. That's not the disarm call. That's this Sunday.
No, disarm call is not the all-member call. This is the all-member call. Disarm call Sunday, the link, on the text pad. Yep,
okay.
And we can get the link to everybody who's registered for this call. Yep, you're welcome.
Great.
Yeah, we've been calling the One Wolf call the all-member call from the beginning, but I guess it's better known as One Wolf. So I guess we should just continue calling it that.
Yeah, I think that's very good. I mean, I personally have been working on Sanctuary and where I can on climate change, which is what I obsess over.
Kathy, what's Santa Cruz busy with these days? Kathy, Israel, are you on mute? Apparently she is. Well, this California discussion seems to be taking a really long time. And I'm kind of out of small talk. Do y'all have anything you'd like to discuss before we...
Well, thank you very, very much. Right. I think I'll hang up.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling in, Jean. And don't forget November 8th.
I will remember November 8th, and you'll send me the numbers to call in Maine and in Madison, Wisconsin.
I definitely will. Thank
you.
Okay,
great. Thanks a lot. So long.
Bye, Jean.
I haven't said very much. I haven't said anything. You hear me?
Yes, I hear you, John.
I am very concerned that Wolf has not really talked about the tremendous crisis in this country. We're moving into fascism. We're having all our rights taken away from us, and we seem to be talking about bureaucratic things all the time. How many people have talked to how many people, et cetera. We have got to get people understanding what's going on right now. It's going to happen for a long time. That Kavanaugh thing was a horror, but that is just a symptom. That's just one piece of a puzzle that it continue for a long time because the right is organizing to take all of our rights away, and we're not talking about it.
Well, my response, Joan, is we can't all talk together unless we're on the same call. So that's why I'm trying to get more people on these calls where we can do that kind of strategy planning.
Yeah, but I think if we had more content on this call and ideas and content, we would get more people. Because so far, I have heard a lot of things about, you know, nice color, nice countryside things, but I haven't really heard the main ideas that came out of such an international meeting. And in a report that I have read, it's the same thing. I think we need to focus much more on discussion and talk about what's going on politically. And our talks are not politically oriented so far. That's my feeling. So I agree with what Joan says.
Well, I think you're both right, and I agree. I think we need to do more strategy planning. We need more voices of members and branches to do that. For instance, I know that Washington conference
is a good place for us to get involved, because that is where peace groups from all over the country are organizing to try to plan strategies for the future. And I really hope that we'll have some Wolf members at that conference listening and participating in the strategy planning, so that they can bring those ideas back to us. We have to be working together with other organizations if we're going to make a difference. It's not something Wolf can do by ourselves.
That's true.
At the Washington conference, do you know who's going to from Wolf go there, and what kind of message they're going to bring, and what kind of outcome you want the Washington conference to have?
Well, I'm going to approach some of our Washington members personally and ask them if they'll go and represent us there. But you know, because we're so scattered, most partner organizations want to partner with organizations that have either lots of people or lots of money. And although we've added a lot more members in the last year and a half, we still are not a huge organization, so we don't have huge numbers of people, and we certainly don't have a lot of money. So we have to proceed cautiously and not overpromise what we can deliver. So,
well, I think Nancy Price is going, and I know Alan and I are going to Washington, and Nancy Price is going. I don't know else who is going.
Yeah, I know Nancy's going to Dublin. I wasn't sure she was going to D.C. as well. That's good if she is.
I thought she was going to D.C., but maybe I'm mistaken. It's possible.
I don't know. She did not tell me that, but that doesn't mean she doesn't tell me everything, so I'm just not sure. But I think that conference could be really important, because it would give us an insight into what strategies the other groups are pursuing, and that would help us plan within Wolf. It would certainly help inform, for instance, our planning for solidarity events in 2019. So I hope whoever goes will report back and be looking out for, you know, where there are synergies and what we could do together for solidarity events.
So are you planning to go, John? Are you going?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, are you going to go to Washington?
No.
Maybe we could write something to Washington conference ahead of going, so the people that are going to go could bring a message from Wolf.
Well, I think we have to know who's going first.
Well, I can find out from Nancy if she's going and let you know, Odile and Joan.
Okay, thank you.
You may know who else is going. I'm not part of Disarm, so I don't do that stuff.
I have a question. It may be kind of strange to anyone. Does anybody keep in contact with Felicity Hill, Felicity Ruby?
With who?
Felicity Hill. She used to be, and she's Felicity Ruby now. She was from Australia, but she was at Geneva for quite a while, as an intern. But I just wondered if she was still, if any, but she had done some work at the
New York office, our UN office, too. I was just
what was your last name, Margaret?
Well, it was
Felicity Hill.
Barbara for the staff.
It was Felicity Hill, but then she changed it relatively recently to Felicity Ruby.
She changed it before the Congress at The Hague, and she, as you may recall, she was at The Hague. We tried reaching out to her in the last year, and I think she's still in New York, but she did not go to The Hague, and she really wasn't very forthcoming about getting involved in things. I don't think there's any interaction between her and the people who are running the New York Metro branch, which still exists, even though Jean Vertain keeps insisting that it doesn't. Mike, Odile, did you have a question about who was going to Dublin?
Oh, true,
no,
yeah.
No, about who is going to Washington.
Ah, I do not know the answer to that. I know that Leah Bolger and Nancy Price are going to Dublin.
Yes, I know that because I was in the World Beyond War conference, so I know that.
Oh, did you go to that, Odile? Did you went to Toronto?
Yes, I did. And I wrote a report for the Disarm Committee. It will come out in the E-News.
Oh, in the Peace and Freedom?
No,
in the E-News.
The monthly E-News, that we have a monthly E-News.
Oh,
newsletter online.
You get it in your email, Margaret.
Okay, all right, thank you.
No, question, Margaret, do you get it in your email?
Well, I get some things, I don't know. What is it called? The
E-News.
E-News.
From Wolf? I don't think so. We get the Peace and Freedom from the Snail Mail publication, and sometimes, well, I don't think so, but I'll take a look. I don't think I've seen what you're talking about.
I can forward you one. There are two different flavors. One is an e-alert that comes out from time to time with interesting things on it, and the other is a monthly e-news. Both are emails to you. I'll forward it to you. This is Barbara.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
Odile.
You know, that conference of World Beyond War, they recorded everything and sent the recordings out. You can hear almost anything.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. We didn't get to that either, so I wanted to. Did I tell you that we had a WILF subcommittee about 2 years ago? And I can't even remember how all of us got on it, but we are published in the Alternate Global Security Manual from World Beyond War. And the five of us that worked on the patriarchy section are still listed as contributors. We consider it our finest hour. Anyway.
Very nice.
Yeah, I was thrilled with that. But it was so interesting that we got it together, but I can't even remember how or why now. it's very, very lovely. I mean, I think there's some things that I would have changed for the better, but in my opinion, for the better. but overall, I'm still glad that they still retain what we did. So I'll have to take a look at it. It was great, Odile. You had a one. It was just fabulous.
I wanted to say that the e-news are also on our homepage the archive. There is an e-news archive, so all you need to do is to go to the homepage and you can look at all the e-news.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is there a radio or a television on?
I don't know whose, but not mine.
Not
Barbara, are the people from California back? Are they finished with their breakout?
They finished. They finished too, but I think they're all gone. I may have been the only one who came on the call. No, John Goddard is here. No, I take that back. Michael and John Goddard are talking with each other. But, the other people ended the call, and Mary left. She had to go do something, like sleep.
Great.
I think.
Well, I would really like to end the call, too. I haven't had dinner yet,
It's late here, and my kids are going to go to bed soon, and I won't have even said much to them since they got home from work. So, I'm not sure what will happen if I hang up, whether Michael and Joan will have to be forced to stop talking.
No, they don't.
What.
No,
okay,
you
good.
Can hang up. You can hang up.
All
Michael's
right.
pretty much controlling it. So thank
all
you
right,
all
well,
very
good
much.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you so much, Mary Beth. As always.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Okay.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Night. Love to talk with you sometime.
Kathy, are you still on the call? Hello, Kathy Israel. Hello, Kathy Israel. Oh, she's gone. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Good night.
I wanted to know where Margaret Pecaro was from.
From Tucson, Arizona.
Thank you.
Oh, and Carolyn?
That you can talk to Joan sometime?
Joan Eklund, hi. Carolyn Israel is Kathy Israel from Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, right.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where she is. Joan Eklund, how are you? And thank you so much for going to Toronto. It sounds like you were a really good ambassador.
Got the speakers. There's three women that spoke there. That I've got the speeches. I'm going to try and get them out as so the people
Ooh.
Can see them. I'd like to be able to
Wonderful.
Talk deal sometime. That's what I'm trying to ask her if we could talk sometime.
You and Odile?
Yes.
Is Odile still on the phone? Odile,
yes,
can I talk with you sometime?
Yes, I will email you.
Tell me your phone number.
769-769-2971.
734-769-297.
You're missing one.
71.
Okay. Got that. Well, I'd like to talk sometime with you.
Yeah, let's talk. Okay, good. See you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
All right, thank you for letting me speak.
Oh, Kathy? Kathy, are you still on? Kathy?
This is pretty. Maybe
Joan.
That's Kathy's radio.
That's Carolyn. Carolyn, Joan.
No,
Robert,
her name is Kathy. Carolyn is her
Kathy.
Official name, and I didn't know that Carolyn was her name for probably 20 years. Right?
She's not hearing.
I think it's her radio. I think it's her radio that's maybe making the noise.
Yeah. So yeah, didn't get disconnected. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Joan, thank you so much for everything.
Yeah, I'm glad that Cheryl had us get together and, you know, sort things out because, like somebody said, it's much more efficient. It's good. And I will if several people, you know, are going to arrive at the train station, I'll just make sure there's more than one driver.
There you go. There you go. That's a possibility.
It'll be a little tough with the timing because of the all member call and the 7:30 in Palo Alto and things like that. But I think probably you all coming on the train and me driving up to the train station may work out just fine after 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I think so. And the California Avenue station is, you know, I mean, the Stanford State, I mean, the Palo Alto station is not bad, but California Avenue is even easier.
Exactly.
What day and time did Mary say she was coming in roughly? Is it in the afternoon?
No,
like a Wednesday?
I think I think I saw something about 11 a.m., and she said something about late morning, 11:45-ish or something.
Oh.
So I think she's supposed to arrive in San Francisco Airport before noon. But
you know, one thing that she and Cheryl might want to talk about, I didn't go into it on the call, but, you know, the BART is at the international terminal. It takes 30 seconds to get there. And you could get off at Millbrae and completely ignore the whole parking pickup disaster that is passenger loading and unloading at SFO. Although Cheryl may not care, but that's something to think about, having been there recently.
Good point. Yeah, me too. And to meet her there, but use BART and Caltrain to get to Palo Alto. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or have Mary go. Mary, you know, we could even send Mary a ticket. Let Mary go down to Millbrae. Yeah, either way, you know, that way she wouldn't have to go wandering around the airport. Anyway, there you go.
I will communicate with Cheryl about that, because I've done that to a certain extent, and also a friend just did it recently from, you know, coming down from Oregon, and she was able to negotiate it very well, but. You know, if Cheryl wants to meet Mary, she could do that with the public transportation more easily than the parking and the this and that and the traffic and the roads and all that.
Right, that's a thought. Yeah, and then she'd
Joan,
be in her
Barbara,
car down further. Yeah, I'm going
to
go. We're going
to
go.
I have to dash because y'all can stay on.
I've been going
since 5. So I
you
actually got home
us.
Like 10 minutes before.
You have to disconnect us.
No, I don't. I don't. No,
oh,
no, no.
Okay.
You guys, you all can stay.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You can stay on for hours. But like,
okay.
I just have to continue to do things for Wilf and other stuff, and I have to get off to do that. So
I have to get off too. Thank you so much, Michael.
Yeah,
take good care.
Thank
Joan,
you.
Take
pleasure.
Good care. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Talk to you soon. And good night,
bye.
Kathy, if you're still on the call. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Hello? Hello?
You are currently the only person in this conference. Thank you.
identify himself as God's child.